Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen, listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Episode 250, ladies and gentlemen. We made it to 250 episodes. This is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am so blessed and honored to be able to celebrate 250 episodes tonight. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. And ladies and gentlemen, I have chosen to celebrate 250 episodes tonight with none other than tag team legend, ladies and gentlemen. He is Bobby Fulton of the legendary Fantastics. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing well, Chris. You know, and I will tell you this. I have ate a lot of pancakes in my days, and I have been given power slams by some of the best in professional wrestling. I mean, and I'm talking about Danny Spivey. I've been power slammed by him. Ted DiBiase, Dr. Death Steve Williams, Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer. So many guys I've been power slammed with. And, you know, this is January 2017. I'm still alive and kicking.
Yes,
Thank
sir.
Thank God for those power slams and pancakes, brother. It's good to hear from you tonight.
I love it, man. I love it. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you being on the show with me tonight for a couple reasons. One of the reasons is you have a big event coming up this weekend. Let's start off by letting all the listeners know what's coming up for this weekend for you.
Yes, this weekend, Zanesville, Ohio, at the Muskegon County Fairgrounds. It's a Veterans Complex building. It's World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling. And it's, like I said, it's going to take place, and you said, this Saturday night, there, January the 14th. 7 p.m. to bell time. We've got a special meet and greet from 4 to 6 with Road Warrior Animal. Also on the card, of course, myself, Fantastic Bobby Fulton, the franchise Shane Douglas, him and I are going to lock horns. Both of us are skilled veterans. Both of us know how to handle ourselves in the ring, and this Saturday night it's going to be wild, loud, and unpredictable because Shane Douglas, although he has nothing to prove to himself, or maybe to the people, but to himself, he's going to want to prove that he's a better man than me. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Through all those power slams, through all those choke slams, through all those chair shots, through all those barbed wire matches, scaffold matches, all roads lead to Zanesville this Saturday night. I'm putting it on the line. I am a Buckeye by birth, Christian by the grace of God, and I am not going to let somebody from Pennsylvania come over here and run through me like X-Lax through a widow woman. If Shane Douglas thinks it's going to be a night off, he has it all wrong. And if the people in Janesville, the surrounding counties, even the folks in Columbus think this is just going to be another Saturday night, they're wrong, because it's World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling featuring WWE Network stars, a lot of guys that's upstart that do a great job. And I'm telling you right now, also featured on that, Chris, we're bringing something back from the past. It's a seven-man. It's billed as the wildest and craziest match ever. It's a blindfold Wrestle Royal in which seven guys are blindfolded in the ring. Now, listen, anything can happen. These were done probably 15 years ago, and I don't know anyone that's done them since, but it's going to be something special. Also on the card, we've got Shauna Reed, who is a Rookie of the Year. She's going to be facing one of ROH's wrestling stars, this girl, Thunder Kitty. As a matter of fact, they called her Miss Zanesville. She got mad. The mayor was going to give her the key to the city. She said no. She's really shown herself, and I don't know, Chris, if you know who Thunder Kitty is, but she's an awesome, both girls are awesome wrestlers, and it's a six matches. It's going to be featured, like I said, we're really proud of the fact to have Road Warrior in them. Legion of Doom, one of the greatest tag teams in professional wrestling, and not to mention the father of James Laurinaitis, who's a Buckeye standout.
Yeah.
But we're going to be over there, Chris, in Janesville, and we're excited about what's happening. The last time we were there was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And on that card, we put the poster up on our Facebook page. It was Jake the Snake Roberts. It was Abdullah the Butcher, Pat Tanaka, Buff Bagwell, and so many others. But this card that we've got going in here, we're proud of the fact that it's going to be an action-packed night. Fun for the whole family. And I'm going to tell you something, Chris. Something a little different in professional wrestling. It's heroes versus villains.
Yes.
Good guys versus bad guys. And I want to tell you something right now. We just came off of having a great event at Union Oda High School in Chillicothe. And that was in December. We had Sting featured on the event. We had 1,680 people there. Loud, and I mean, just it was heroes versus villains. The folks was going crazy, and no doubt the same thing's going to happen this Saturday night in Zanesville. Anyone with an earshot of my voice, listen to this. I want you to come out. You're going to see a great night of wrestling action. Tickets are available at the barn on Linden Avenue at the fairgrounds office from 9 to 3 this week. And also by, Chris, you know, on our Facebook page, we have a link there where they can purchase their tickets online. Now, I've been talking a lot. I'm going to turn it back over to you, brother.
Nice. Man, that's awesome. And please be sure to support. I'll be there. It's about a 45-minute drive from my house, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I will be there just as a proud wrestling fan and a journalist, both at the same time.
Wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said it's your Buckeye and a Christian, two things that I am proudly.
Yes.
It's absolutely. I'm actually in ministry, and I am a Columbus, Ohio, born and bred, and a huge Buckeye fan. So I am with you on that. You also mentioned heroes and villains. I want to pick your brain on that for a bit, because it seems as if. Well, you mentioned blindfold match as well. The last blindfold match I remember was 1991, Jake Roberts against Rick Martel, WrestleMania 7. That was probably one of the most popular ones. Yeah, so blindfold matches are indeed something that would be interesting to see, you know, nearly 20 years later.
Seven men. Seven men.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned heroes and villains. Now, you're a legend in the business. You've been in the business for 40 years. And it's something that, you know, I've been watching wrestling for over 30 years now. And it's something that as a kid in the 80s that I was so used to just the larger-than-life feel of professional wrestling, the heroes versus the villains. You know, I watch wrestling all the time still. I follow it. I write about it. I get paid to write about it. But that's one of the biggest things that I criticize about modern-day wrestling as opposed to traditional wrestling, what people grew to love, just the larger-than-life, the characters, the heroes or villains. What would be your biggest critique as far as the heroes versus villains missing element of modern-day wrestling?
Well, I'm just going to tell you about my company that you're going to come to see Saturday night. We major on everything the rest of the wrestling business minors on, meaning that we are not a sports entertainment company. We are a professional wrestling company. Now, at all of our events, we have people are standing, stomping, jumping, running, clapping, cheering, booing. You can watch any Monday Night Raw and not see that. You got kids running up to the wrestlers and patting them on the back and going up close to the ring, I mean, even and smacking on the ring. And, I mean, the thing of it is, it's just like any major sport. They forgot the backbone. And the backbone is the wrestling fans. For us, is professional wrestling. And it's just like what's happened with NASCAR and so many other sports. It all looks plastic to me. It all looks manufactured. And the passion is missing in it. And I'm going to just tell you, I tell everybody that when you don't have passion, then you're just going through the motions in anything. So when you're just going through the motions, the lack of passion, listen, a people's emotions is everything. Uh-huh. And listen to me. Back in the day when Jackie Fargo got beat up in Tennessee, and he said, I'll tell you what, Pally, I'm going to be down there at Memphis Mid-South Coliseum on Monday night, and I'm going to get a hold of that Jive Turkey, and I'm going to work him over. The people went to see it because they had a vested interest. The vested interest was that they loved Jackie Fargo.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying they don't love the wrestlers today, but there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect, and there's no connection. And see, it's just like when we go to our events, and I'm very proud of the company. It's a company that I started in 1977, and then my father and I kept it going. And then I kind of slowed down when I got busy doing a bunch of other stuff. But I've started it again at the end here. And I'm really proud of it, Chris.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of the fact that we have done events, and every time people come up to us and say, you know what, this is what we're missing.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. The good guy comes from one side of the arena. The bad guy comes from the other side.
Oh,
of the
I love
and
the
it's just
babe.
Like Old West.
Yes.
It's just like Old West. And here they come, and the people, man, are just exploding.
Yeah.
I mean, just going, woo, woo, woo. Oh, they can't wait. When it's like that, that's the way it is, and the people want that.
Yes.
Look, when I go to the magic show, I don't want to see all the magic tricks. And when I went to see Santa Claus, you know, Chris, I went to see Santa Claus this year. And I walked into the mall, and there sat a jolly man, heavy, with a red suit on and a big white beard, and he had on a hat and black boots and a big belt. And he went, ho, 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 when I went up to him. When I sat on his lap, he went, oh, no, but listen. Chris, it wasn't a guy 130 pounds. It wasn't a guy in a pair of blue jeans sitting in that chair. It wasn't a guy not dressed accordingly. It was a man dressed in his outfit. Now listen, the spirit of Santa Claus is real. But we know that there's someone in that seat. But our kids still love to go see Santa Claus. And he has an influence on their lives. It's just like me, for example, way back in 1983, Tommy and I was in Tennessee. And this lady came to me and she said, listen, my boy's not doing good in school. I need someone to talk to him. I am afraid that he is headed down the wrong path in life. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but this is how strange life is and how good God is. Chris, listen, we were wrestling in Tennessee. It was a regional organization. But for some reason, TBS had come to Nashville and asked to do an interview with Tommy and I. Well, in this interview, I mentioned that woman and that little boy. It was played on a Sunday morning, TBS Superstation, not during wrestling, during a news segment. That little boy was listening to that because he came to me and he said, it's strange, but listen, it's strange, but I knew he was talking about me because my mom said, we talked to him, but what I was getting ready to say this, as the American Dream said, baby, yeah, the heroes are calling. And he said, I'm bringing you the need you want. I'm bringing you the want you need. I'm bringing you the American Dream. Listen, in the spirit of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, when we have a wrestling event, world-class professional big time wrestling, it is the spirit of those who walk before us. We listen. If we don't take care of the wrestling business will not take care of us, and that's one thing that's not being taught today.
Amen.
I know Vince and them are big time over the top and this and that, but I guarantee you one thing right now. If I had his billions, I would be a lot further down the road than where he's at, and a lot more people would be watching my TV program on Monday night since he's the only act in the country. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like it, man. Amen to that. Yeah, there's so much that you said that I agree with, man, just as far as just the – I mean, great story, by the way. And I think that –
I think
professional wrestling, I think, as far as an analysis from where I stand, just watching every week and watching it, 20, 30 years ago,
right,
is that the kid, the little kid still wants – what happened in the 80s and in the early 90s. That little kid still wants that. You know what I mean? That never changes. And I think the problem is that characters aren't being built to make that kid want to emulate or want to be like somebody. I remember when I was a kid, Sting was my all-time favorite wrestler.
Right.
Of course, Hulk Hogan. I was a huge Road Warrior fan. I played I played football and would pretend that I my shoulder pads were spiked. Yeah, and that's and here's the thing. Wrestling is, I always say, wrestling is about 70% of what happens outside of the ring and 30% of what happens inside of the ring. The outside of the ring is the character development, the mic work, the promo classes, the emulating the character. And I think, it's one of the biggest things I believe that the WWE is missing. And fans who've been watching for so long, they want that back. I don't care if you're a kid or an adult. So I applaud you, man, for just having us restore, what wrestling is all about.
Sure. And, I'm hearing it everywhere. And as a matter of fact, at the event I was at in December that we had, the principal of the school walked up. He said, listen, you got residual business. Because here's what's happening, Chris. Mom and dad and grandpa and grandma are bringing their little 9-year-olds and 5, 7, 8, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds to watch what they watched when they were kids. And it is introducing them to our style of wrestling. So one day, guess what will happen? Those kids will bring their kids, almost like the circus thing. And while I'm speaking of it, I want to just shift the gear real quick. Why don't the people wear outfits and nice jackets to the ring anymore and stuff like that?
Right.
And I mean, they don't do that anymore. I mean, you go to the circus, it's all about, and you look at the old wrestling, and I'm talking about even the 50s, everybody had a rain jacket. Everybody looked like somebody. And years ago, they told me, they said, Chris, they said this, they said, when you, people's not going to pay to see someone that looks like them.
Yes.
And I remember when I was a young kid, and my dad took me to Dayton Air Arena, and I seen the wrestling boots. I was in amazement. I was wanting to go to the roller skate rink and hook those wheels and use those as wrestling boots. I mean, because it wasn't something that you could buy.
Right.
Now, I could buy a pair of work boots anywhere, but wrestling boots, I could not buy. And that's part of the allure is the outfit. Could you imagine us going to the Buckeyes game and they were wearing blue jeans out there? Could you imagine what that'd be like?
Normal.
In motorcycle helmet?
Just normal. Just it was not larger than life, not something spectacular or super, just normal and average, and nothing I would invest in. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Look, when you're a professional football player, you wear a football uniform.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a professional baseball player, you wear a baseball uniform. When you're a hockey player, you wear a hockey uniform. When you're a jockey, you got a uniform. When you're a professional wrestler, you should have a certain style and stuff that people want to see, that's the glitz and the glamour. You know, I'll tell you something I haven't told anybody ever before, but Paul Bosch, while Bull Curry and Frank Free Curry were in Columbus, Ohio years ago, and I was 16 wrestling while Bull Curry and Flying Free Curry. As a matter of fact, Flying Free Curry took me to the WWF when I was young, and I wrestled on television, which you can go to YouTube and watch Bob Fulton versus Steve Travis. Now, you wouldn't think that's me in a million years, but that is me. And Bruno Sammartino and Vince is doing the commentating, but what I was getting ready to tell you was this. Paul Bosch told Tommy and I, said, I wished that when you took off the tuxes that you had something that kept you with your gimmick, more or less. So with that being said, I mean, we always just wrestle in a pair of short wrestling tights and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is that, I wish the guys, I mean, it's okay to have a couple guys not wear whatever. But for the most part, and they do on WWE, but now you go to these independent wrestling shows, and these guys are wearing work boots, and all of them, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to even go there, because just like I explained to somebody the other day, there's WWE sports entertainment, there's professional wrestling, and then there's another level, and that's just the way it is, brother.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Absolutely. Wow. Man, let us know where we can find you on social media and how people can get those tickets. Man, I have to bring you back on for a part two. There's so much to get into as far as just your wrestling career. Just got so many questions. But just let everybody know about the event again, and we'll bring you back for part two.
Yep. January 14th is Saturday night, live and living color. World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling. Major League Professional Wrestling at its very best. Muskegon County Fairgrounds. It's at the Veterans Complex building. Road Warrior Animal, Franchise Shane Douglas, Fantastic Bobby Fulton, Live Wire Sean Casey, War Eagle, Robbie Starr, Thunder Kitty. Six big matches in all. I want the folks to come on out. They can like us on World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling Facebook, and they get information there on how to buy tickets, upcoming events, so on and so forth. Chris, we are truly blessed men and highly favored of the Lord.
Amen.
And God bless you that you have 250 more. And I'm so thankful to be a part of Power Slams, brother, and Pancakes.
Man, I've had such a pleasure interviewing for you this 20 minutes, man. I'm looking forward to part two, man. I appreciate your insight. I appreciate your godly encouragement, man. It's been such a pleasure.
Thanks, man. God bless. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, wow, wow, wow. What a way to start off and kick off episode 250 of the Pancakes and Power Slam show by having one of the most electrifying interviews that I've had in 250 episodes. Absolutely incredible. Fantastic. Bobby Fulton, ladies and gentlemen, wow. We got so much to cover tonight, so without further ado, listen, this is 250 episodes. What a monumental night this is. It's going to be so much fun, so much excitement, and we have Bobby Fulton, but there's so much more, and let's bring on the guest host for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. What a way to celebrate 250. I could not do it any better, right? Could not pick anyone different than my boy, my guy, none other, from Under the Mat Radio. I present to you tonight, Evan Tech. Proud. How are you tonight, sir?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm doing good, man. I heard your voice isn't the best tonight.
Yeah, I'm a little under the weather, but, you know, as they say, the show must go on.
That's absolutely
so,
right,
man. did my show earlier. As they say, as Christians, we had to keep travailing and keep on pressing.
There you
go. So I pressed and did my show. And then, of course, you know, wouldn't miss this for the world at all. So,
man, I appreciate that, man. 250 episodes, man. I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, yes. 250 and counting.
Yes, sir.
250. Entertaining episodes. Can't say the same about Monday Night Raw. I've been going on now four years to be this year, and I know I'm well over 250. But you know, I lost count honestly. So
yeah.
Like you said, congrats, man.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I haven't missed an episode. I started in April of 2012. I've not missed a week since. So this is the 250th straight week, Pancakes and Power Slam. So since 2012, it'll be 5 years for me in April of 2012. So I'm just, it's a monumental night for me. And, man, I'm ready to have some fun. You ready to get into these headlines?
Oh, yeah, we can. No problem.
All right, here we go. Ah, yes. Wendy's is responsible for my geef. Because of Wendy's, they have promoted me to delete the other restaurants and make them obsolete. What are your thoughts on Matt Hardy spreading to Wendy's?
I love it, man. I love it. It's, man, it gave me a reason to want to eat Wendy's again. I haven't ate Wendy's in a while. Seeing as how Wendy's for some reason doesn't have a dollar menu, but
here in the States,
no breakfast, no dollar menu. Now serve fried chicken no more.
Oh wow!
But yeah, they used to sell fried chicken back in the day.
Oh wow! Yeah. Well, you know they bought churches, I believe, a while ago.
Really?
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I was doing some research. I think it was churches that they bought chicken. So, yeah, I guess that's where they, you know, took the fried chicken to. But, I love Wendy's. I love Wendy's. I'm born and raised in Columbus, and that's where Wendy's was founded. It's great stuff, man. I really enjoy just Wendy's, but you know, my biggest criticism would be the no breakfast. You know, I think just as far as the trendy, from what I heard, 2007 they launched it in Canada, but for some reason, 10 years later, never got an opportunity to translate or to come over to the States where you and I reside. But yeah, I mean, other than that, you know, I like the food. I'm not a big fast food hamburger guy. I haven't ate. I used to eat their double stacks a lot, but I haven't ate fast food hamburgers in quite some time. But their chicken is fantastic. I just had Wendy's yesterday, actually. And to be honest with you, this actually made me want to go to Wendy's yesterday because not only that, but just the trolling that Wendy's do, and it's so funny. Their Twitter account is probably one of the best business Twitter accounts I've ever seen, because not only the Matt Hardy thing, but they post so many Randy Savage gifs. I just, when I was writing my piece on the Inquisitor, I just went down, you know, months of Twitter responses, and there were at least a half a dozen Randy Savage gifts. I just think it's so hilarious, and I just, Twitter just gained a fan of me.
Yeah, know, I'm the same way. I haven't ate at Wendy's in about a few months. I'm not the biggest fast food eater.
Right.
But, you know, if I do want a quality burger, I mean, you know, between, you know, McDonald's, the mystery meat of McDonald's and Burger King, which is okay, and then Checkers and Dairy Queen, I have to say, you know, Wendy's a fan of, definitely. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
but, and you know, their fries have improved.
Yeah.
You know, I give it to their fries, but.
Yeah.
But sorry, I love their Twitter.
Improved. Yeah.
Yeah, I love their Twitter page, and Randy Savage gives.
Yeah.
The Matt Hardy, the Matt Hardy trolling customers—it's hilarious, man. I love it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Seth Rollins are expected to debut new theme music. There was probably about a 15 or so snippet that I posted on Inquisitor, and it was through Downstate Facebook, the rock band that has also done Radio by Zack Ryder, and also both I Am Perfection and Here to Show the World of Dolph Ziggler. You know, they're not a John Johnston or not a CFOs. You know, the 80s and 90s. You know. Person of the
right.
WWE, and then of course CFOs. They've been doing stuff for about 5 years now. They've done dozens of the newer NXT and WWE music that we hear. Downstate have done a few artists, a few wrestlers, but not much. But from what I heard, they're doing a redesign, rebuild, reclaim type of song. I think it'll help Rollins. I think his. You know, there's something missing with Rollins as far as a big big name or a large in life character. I think Bobby Fulton said it so perfectly as far as just the lack of characters that WWE is building over the past, you know, 10 years or so. But I think this song could help him out. I think having a lyric, you know, a lot of times having those lyrics to your songs like Real American. And the rock song, even if it's The Rock Says, you know what I mean? It helps your character because we all know the theme music is so pivotal when it comes to really defining a character.
Yeah, it does. Don't forget American Made, Hogan. I still say that was a better thing, WCW.
Did
you
really?
I don't get hate mail for that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was – Real American was – Real American is a great thing, but you know, and me being a fellow musician myself, playing music for about 15 years, Real American's great, but you know, it was just beating your head so much as a 4-kid. It was Real American, American, and Hogan. So American Made to me just had more of a, I mean, when you listen to it, it has more of an edgier sound, of a realistic sound than American Made, which, like I said, I don't dislike Real American, but. I just kind of like American Made a little more, even though it still was the kind of cheesy, kind of, you know, I saw, you know, the 90s was kind of cheesy, kind of music. But that's just, like I said, that's just my opinion. I don't hate Real American, but I just like American Made a little better. But, Rollins is, who would have thought? Out of the three Shield members, that Rollins would be the one that just has that one thing missing. You know, of course, he was the golden boy. You know, he was with the Authority and Triple H, and he got the first major push. And then Reigns is Reigns, and he is, you know, big. He's the next big babyface at the 4-kid Cena. And then of course Ambrose is doing great on SmackDown. Like I said, Reigns is just something's missing, and he needs new theme music. I never liked the theme music to begin with. It just sounds like a basic B-list action movie riff.
Yep.
And it doesn't give any identity. And not to say, honestly, for the same with Ambrose, they all sound similar. Like, what does the theme, you hear a theme song, is supposed to incorporate the person's character, even if it doesn't have lyrics. It's supposed to feel it. You're supposed to feel it. Like, okay, that's them. Rollins is like,
absolutely.
What is this? It's this basic action movie. You know, you hear from credit. So I think that a new theme would help him. I do know through legit sources within E that I know he's been working on a new finisher for the past couple months on live events. please give him a new finisher. That pedigree does not fit. You're too small. I say give him the curb stomp back and just give him the knee. I mean, he's a small
like
guy. Right.
Yeah, I like the knee, but here's the thing. I like the frog splash, though.
I don't like the frog splash. It's been done too much. I started to get like the CB kick for me.
Yeah, but I agree with that, unfortunately, you know, because it should not be a signature move. It should be a finisher. But I think he does. But the frog splash to me is like the quintessential babyface move. And I think that he does it. I mean, his elevation is really good. I think he does it pretty good. And I think based on the moveset that he has now, I think the actual frog splash actually helps him. Because, we both know that both music and finishers really help define a character. The pedigree is a horrible choice for Seth Rollins. The curb stomp is more of a heelish move. So I think it's one of those things that it's time to... I think it's time to really change that.
Well, what about that Phoenix splash? That twisting splash thing he did with the Shield that he only do at WrestleMania each year.
I think it's too much. I mean,
too much.
Like
let's
think about the 80s and the 90s. Like, you know, who had the most the most complex finishing move in the 90s. I mean, Hogan had a leg drop. Piper had a sleeper. Rude had a neck breaker.
Had the death drop, but it was all simple.
Right.
Sharpshooter.
Right. Taker with the tombstone.
You think of like the tombstone and the torture rack was, and that was like the two most complex.
Right.
Because it took a little longer to do.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Rude Awakening was basic, but it took a while.
Right.
Unless you count the heart punch that Crush did for like a month, but.
That's pretty simple though.
Yeah.
The heart punch. Everybody had simple finishers. Because it goes back to wrestling wasn't about what was in the ring. That's because that's the reason why all the finishers were so simple, because it wasn't about, Phoenix splashes and 450s and red arrows. You know what I mean? It wasn't all about that, but
620 splashes.
Yeah. I mean, the frog splash came from what's his name? He died in his 20s. D'Lo and Eddie Guerrero inspired. Yes, Art Barry, absolutely. He originated the frog splash, and that was in the early 90s. So, that was a bit more complex, the frog splash and how he did it. He used to tuck, and he did a fantastic job, but he was still, a mid-carder, you know what I mean? Like Randy Savage, with the top rope elbow, that probably would be, classified as complex, back in the 90s. But, Shawn Michaels had a super kick. It has to be a catchy finisher that people can still be in awe. It can be kind of be caught in any spot. You know what I mean? Because with Hogan, you had the leg first, and then the big boot. But we don't see that anymore. It's just, my hope is that Seth Rollins gets a finishing move that gives him an opportunity to, with the music, to be more catchy and fit more of a babyface role.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's okay on the mic.
Just okay for now.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, just okay for me, yeah.
He's okay. It could be worse.
Yeah, he could be worse, but he's got some work to do, certainly on the mic.
He could be Reigns. He could be Roman Reigns, but
I don't think Reigns is that bad on the mic. I think he's grown leaps and bounds.
He's grown, but his catchphrase is so generic. Believe that. That's something you held like "see by the bell" episodes in the late '80s, early '90s. It's so, like, come on, like you can't come up with something better than that. He has the look. He's already in the Samoan family, even though contrary to popular belief, he's not affiliated with the same Samoan tribe as The Rock, even though they're kind of related, but it's more like distant instead of close. But like you said, it's a generation. I don't want people to think me and you fellas don't killing the modern day fans. I know we're a little older school, but I like Reigns. He has the look. His in-ring style is typical WWE. To me, it's just so borderline generic.
Yeah.
So after school special type stuff, but it fit. Sometimes it's the basic stuff. I mean, who would have thought what was going to take off? Or yes, 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 and no.
Yep. That's
but,
true.
I like Rollins. I just hope he just finds that one thing, a new finisher. And honestly, shout out to you. When we talked about Neville, I saw last night he used the Rings of Saturn. So I actually talked for that. So you know what? Me and Father Stone just talked about that. Which Neville hasn't been, well, technically Batista did it briefly, called the Batista bite, but no one counts that.
Right.
Batista's too darn big to be put somebody in a submission hold.
And the thing is, they tried, Corey Graves said Rings of Saturn, and then Michael Cole was a bit reluctant to say it. I noticed all that little subtlety where Michael Cole was reluctant to say Rings of Saturn, but Corey was like, hey, Rings of Saturn. He said it a couple times, actually. So, and then Michael Cole said it afterwards.
Even though technically, being close to my name I've had for 20 some odd years, it technically is a variation of it. Saturn never did lock the head. I used to wrestle him. He never did lock the head pull him back. So it's a derivative of the rings.
Yeah.
But like you said, Saturn made them more popular. So regardless, it's going to be the Rings of Saturn, which I think is
right.
You don't see it done much. Even India, a lot of indie guys barely see it. And even in Japan, in the Japanese don't use it as much.
Yeah,
so,
Tommaso Ciampa used it for a while.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, shout out to him and his leather mask he used, kind of like the MF Doom mask they used to use coming out.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got Ravishing Rick Rude and DDP slated to go to the Hall of Fame finally for Rude. I mean, I think DDP certainly deserves it as well. But finally for Rick Rude, finally. He is long overdue to be in the Hall of Fame. And I think based on these two, if these two are the undercard, it should be a really, really good Hall of Fame coming up.
Yeah. I can say if I'll get into any details, I did speak with Dallas DDP yesterday. Just waiting for the official announcement. So it's a matter of weeks that they're going to announce it. Rude, I've always loved Rude. I remember I just used this trivia for Paige, and I said, what was the original Rude Awakening? So I was like, the original? I'm like, yeah, the original Rude Awakening was DDT. He's the basic DDT in the NWA with him and Manny Fernandez. He looks so ugly. He got like the 80s wrestling. So he used the nut breaker. And when he went to WWF, he didn't even use the nut breaker. He was using the Argentine bat breaker that Morocco used to use.
Yep.
Kind of like you put him up like the Dominator because I still got the program. But, yeah, I love Rude, man. I love DDP, too. Rude was always one of my favorite villains. And yes, I do. I like both his teams, WCW, WWF. But
oh yeah,
it's sad, man, that you know some of the legends we grew up with are now passed on, and just to imagine if he was still alive, and just imagine the Hall of Fame speech.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think who's going to really induct him? You know, his close friend Henning's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
So you got to think who's going to induct him.
I mean, Jake would be a good one, but he's inducting.
Now I can guarantee you that they're not going to call up Manny Fernandez.
Oh no, no.
Yeah, he's too vocal.
Yeah, I've listened to an interview or three of him, and he's surely not going to get the call. Paul Jones, is he still on?
I think Paul Jones. I don't know if he is. I could get one of my people to check.
Yeah, he's still living. I don't know his health, but yeah, born in 1942, 75. You know, he'll be 75 years old this year. Wow.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Paul Jones was the man with feeding with Boogie Woogie, Jimmy Valiant.
Jimmy Valiant, yep, absolutely. Yeah, I am pretty. If he's in good shape, you know, hey, why not? I think it'll be pretty good to have him, you know, on there. If so, I think he's a good choice. Like I said, he can't do Jake because Jake's going to induct DDP. What other? I don't know. I can't think of any other people who he's been so much with. You know what I mean? Like,
you got Paul Jones. Manny's a no. If you wanted to, I mean, Ricky Steamboat. Well, yeah, you
Steamboat.
Sting.
Yeah.
Steamboat, Sting.
Vader.
Vader. Yeah, Vader. No.
Vader will probably be in. He'll probably get inducted.
Yeah, Vader be in.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, like you said, you could use Sting as Steamboat. You know, I know him and Sting had a great feud, and then he had the Roots last match in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody, you know, just watch that match, that back injury. Man.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah. Yeah, when he dived on
tough,
him.
Man.
Yeah.
He can't get Warrior because Warrior's gone. Him and Warrior had that feud. He ain't can't talk anymore. So, like you said, it's bad that a lot of people that that was around Rude. I know Austin. Him and Austin was pretty tight too. Unless you want to bring in Austin, but
yeah,
sad to say when you bring in certain.
Oh well, how about Heyman? Dangerous Alliance.
Oh yeah. That was a great stable too. Arn Anderson, Heyman, Anderson,
yeah.
Heyman,
yeah, think,
Eaton.
Yeah, I think Heyman's. I think Heyman's the way to go. Yeah, I definitely think that's the way to go with Rude. All right, so let's get into this. Dixie Carter resigns from her chair position in TNA.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, the writing was on the wall with this.
Yeah,
and,
praise the Lord. Yeah,
yeah, it was about time. Yeah, you know, so many people with nine lives, and it was time for her to go ahead and step down.
I just want to know what species of bird that is on the new Impact logo.
Yeah. Oh goodness.
What the hell?
Yeah,
what was that? I had that. Somebody sent that to me, and I'm like, "What is that? A bird?" Oh,
it's horrible. it's absolutely horrible. It's I mean,
it's bird.
When it says Anthem on the bottom too, so it's like
right.
Yeah,
you remember that bird? Remember Conan the Barbarian cartoon back in the 90s? Mm-hmm. It was that bird that used to fly around at the beginning of the cartoon. That's what the bird reminds me of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty bad. And if that's a sign of what we're going to see with TNA as a whole, I think it's going to be pretty tough. Definitely pretty tough.
Am I correct that getting some word that they let both Hardys go? Is that correct? Or is Hardy still with them?
I think their contract ends next month in February. Actually, they've been doing some ROH stuff. They've been feuding with the Bucks of Young. Yes, so and so you know they're going to get dates. I mean that's no issue at all with the Hardys, but. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, from what I know, it's certainly going to be, it's certainly going to be,
you're breaking up, little feather snow, you still
here? So, it's going to be tough for the Hardys, but we'll see. If they're gone, I mean TNA has lost quite a bit, and I really really hope that somehow they figure it out, because I think TNA is so good for them, because the thing is, you know, there is more creative control with them in TNA, but with WWE, you already know, Hunter and Vince, they're going to have their hands all in the Hardy man broken, you know, cookie jar, and it's going to really diminish, you know, the zest of the Hardys, the broken Hardys.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
So Ryback lashes out again on his pot. Go ahead.
I said, yeah, unless they can give them creative control like Jericho has. I hope they do not go to WWE. Let them stay in TNA or ROH and work indies. And according to some people, if you're on a certain level, you make more money on the indies than in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
If you manage yourself right.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Hardy's been very vocal about that. There's been a lot of times where he's tweeted. He's tweeted that, you know, how much money he's got. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But you know, I truly believe if they get rid of the Hardys, I mean, that would just be bad news. Yeah. So Ryback. Speaking of getting rid of, WWE got rid of Ryback. He lashes out again on his podcast about John Cena having bearing young talent. you know, he mentioned Alex Riley, and you know, a lot of people criticize Ryback for what he's doing. But you know, and I'm one of those. You know, it's one of those things that it's juicy to hear. You know, it's hard to get through one of his podcasts though without putting my censors up. It's interesting. It's interesting stuff to hear about, because I can see so much validity in what he's saying. Though I mean, I certainly can without question, because we, like I said, I wrote about him on the Inquisitor. I mentioned Bray Wyatt. I mean, he went against Bray Wyatt and Rusev in consecutive WrestleManias. And he did not let one of them go over on him.
Right. It's I agree with you, Featherstone, on and I had time later, I'll start on my little quick rant about everybody and their mother and their cousin and baby sister having podcasts now. But Yeah, what Roback is saying does have validity. It's, we joked about it on my show, of the Cena curse. It's, you have a young star, and even go back to Umaga, the Umaga, you know, the late Umaga.
Yep.
You have a heel.
Bobby Lashley.
He built a heel. He's strong, or a face, and once he hit that Cena wall, Captain Four Kids, they're done. Umaga, mm-hmm. remember, he had a pinfall victory over Triple H, over the bylaws, we call them the bylaws, over the bylaws on Raw, and he was over. And then there was that Rumble with that good last man standing match at the Rumble. And after he lost to Cena, he went down. Lashley, same thing. Rusev, same thing. Who was the other person you mentioned? Brock, same thing. Bray Wyatt, same thing. And these guys need one time.
He buried a whole Nexus.
Yeah, Barrett. Oh, gosh. Barrett, the Nexus. These guys need one time. Got a pinfall victory over Cena, especially when you got Rusev, who, okay, have him lose at Mania 5, but you could have gave him a clean pinfall victory at the next pay-per-view, whatever it was called, or the pay-per-view before, or have him get some kind of win on, you know, I don't count Raw or SmackDown, you're getting the up and up, because you know how WWE writes that stuff.
Right.
But it is said that that happens, and on the contrary, you have Kevin Owens beat Cena. AJ Styles comes in, beat Cena three times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the parallel.
But here's the thing, though. Who won that feud with Cena and Owens, though?
And it did with Cena.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
so,
I mean, with the exception of AJ Styles, I mean, he let Ambrose beat him on SmackDown, but just like you said, I mean, that's forgettable. You know what I mean? Other than AJ Styles, you know, it's hard to really look at anyone. You know what I mean? It's really hard to think about any person who John Cena has actually let, you know, win a feud. I can't think of anybody like a young star. You know, and the thing is, you can't really count AJ Styles as a young star. Because he's the same age as Cena is.
He's been around forever, which
he's been,
you wouldn't
right.
have known
he's,
that.
He's,
because
he's wrestled longer.
You wouldn't have known that if the way he was doing a promo where Cena's acting like he was brand new, didn't know who he was. I'm like, dude, y'all the same age. You've been in the business about the same year. And, I mean, no short to Cena being probably the top four or three most profitable wrestlers in the business, top five, you know, with Rock Hogan, Austin, Cena, I mean, Styles been around the world like you have, you know, like he told me, he wrestled at multiple Wrestle Kingdoms and around the world. So like you said, you know, besides AJ's, no young star has gotten over on Cena. Baron Corbin tonight just lost mad quick on SmackDown to Cena.
Right.
Like, you, the only people that Cena has lost to, you can't count because he was already basically legendary WWE guys, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, you know?
Yeah.
Big Show hasn't even beat him.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anybody who has allowed, I mean, who he's allowed, you know, to really beat him, you know, other than AJ recently. But, you know, like we both said,
there's another name. There's another name, but they're family members. Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
But you don't count that because they're brother-in-laws.
All right. Just about.
In a way.
Yeah. Yep. Very true, man. Very, very true. Sad state, man. It's a very, very sad state. But, you know, hopefully, you know, hopefully that changes. You know, hopefully that, you know, Cena is indeed on his way out. And we can actually have, you know, people like Baron Corbin actually win matches against, you know, people in main events instead of going against John Cena. But, yeah, we'll talk about that with SmackDown. So let's talk about Kimbrel for just a little bit. So, for those under a rock, I'm deciding to talk about this on my show tonight because this is transcended far beyond the gospel circuit to be one of the most trendiest topics the past couple of weeks. And I've made Facebook Live videos about it. I've led a small group that was on Facebook Live for an hour and a half about it. So there's much to say, but I've said so much. So I'll leave it in your hands to talk about it. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts, Tech? Evan, are you there? Okay. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties as soon as Kimberell talk comes up. Yeah, there's some back in, but yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Also talked about Raw and the Raw review yesterday on the show. And it's one of those things. But yeah, we got the Evan back on the line. What are your thoughts on Kim Burrell?
It's so ironic that we start speaking on Kim Burrell and the phone is
and your phone dropped, exactly.
So, exactly. As I say this, is you know, speaking as myself as Evan and even as a show named Tech, is that you know, us being, you know, men of God and being Christians, you know, we have to support one another in our Christian faith. You know, we have to support one another. And, you know, in the world that we live in, of course, in the Word of God, it talked about how in this world, good will be looked at as evil, or evil will be looked at as good. So you have a woman who's a, you know, famous gospel singer who's won awards, who also is a minister of the gospel, and who she is preaching in a church in Houston, Texas. The reason why I'm breaking all this down for anybody listening live or that will listen to the archives is the reason. She's a minister, she's a Christian minister, and she's preaching a sermon in a church. All of that coincides into religion base. Now, us being Christians, we obviously see Christianity as a way of life. The world will put us in the bubble of a religion. With her doing that, it's something called the First Amendment. Because there were 12 amendments, the First Amendment talks about religious freedom. So you have the freedom, being a citizen of the United States, your thoughts and your feelings, and you be able to speak your beliefs.
There we lose again.
Be a tent, rather be a mosque, or I have friends of multiple religious faiths. I have friends that are agnostics. I have friends that are atheists. Very well versed as Featherstone, though we talk personally off air. Very well versed in theology of other religions as well, but. She was within her constitutional rights, being a minister of the Word of God, preaching and a sermon in the church. And she said that homosexuality was a sin. She didn't add any weight to it. She just said it was a sin, which God said in His Word it is. Now, people are going to say, well, isn't fornication a sin? Is a lying a sin? All of those are sins. But keep in context, we're talking about homosexuality. That's what she spoke against.
Right.
She said that it was a perverted, that was her words. It's in the Bible. Now, she didn't say she hated homosexuality. She didn't say homosexuals should go to hell. Those things are hate speeches. She didn't say any of that. She said it was a sin. That's what the Bible says. It says in the Word of God, that's what she spoke on as a minister, so it was nothing against the law for that. And right. Because she did it, and because of the PR, because she did the song with Pharrell, and because he's supposed to go on Ellen that upcoming week, of course, because of the PR with the movie and Hollywood got scared, they start blowing it up. Kim Burrell said this against homosexuality. Well, yeah, she said it, because it's against us. It's against our beliefs as Christians. to live in that same light of you being engaging in a sexual relationship or a quote what you call a union relationship with the same sex. No, we don't agree with that. No, we don't hate those who do it, but it's just not our belief.
Right.
And the fact that she's getting blackballed and getting persecuted behind it, granted, yeah, I got upset. My flesh got upset. But then I realized, well, what else would we expect as Christians?
Yep.
You know, when you stand up for something that's right, you're going to get persecuted. It happened to Paul. It happened to Silas. It happened to David. It happened to Joseph. We can go down the line. When you speak what's right and what we feel in our heart is right, you're going to get persecuted. And still, for her to get her Facebook page taken away because of her stand, that's wrong. Her radio show gets taken away, her TV show. Now she can't go to awards. Granted, nothing was being said. When you have the Caitlyn Jenner, who was a man that dressed up as a woman and changed the sex, he getting awards, he's on the cover of a magazine, and then he still like women, but now he's confused. You got Muslims, you know, talking about what they believe, and you have, you know, all these other religions. They can freely do that with no problem. Once us as Christians speak against how we, you know, speak on how we feel respectfully, what she did, now you got the world. Now you got people coming out the rocks, Janae Monae calling it hate speech and all these other people saying hate speech. So I shout out Shirley Caesar. I shout out the other gospel singers and all people that supported her and said, hey, it's not hate speech. You know, is this what we believe? You know, they force us to believe in what we want to. You got the equal rights, and they kind of shove down our throats to the world of we got to accept them, we got to accept them. I mean, reality is that it's not even in our Constitution, even Declaration of Independence, we never as a country never supported same-sex marriage. And even the man, it's against the law of nature. Animals, you know, with the exception of the species of monkeys that just, you know, have sex, or that's just in their DNA with everything, and it is a species that do that. So with the exception of them, it's against the laws of nature. Now, if you do that, that's fine. Anybody listening, if you're homosexual, or if you live a bisexual life, or if you live a poly life where you live in a polygamous relationship, or if you're a cross-dresser or what have you, that's fine. We still love you. It's just our belief that that's not the way to go, and we still love you the same. And that's all that Kimber Rowe tried to reach out, and like she said herself, you got to listen to the whole sermon, because me and you, Chris, being in media, of course, you know they're going to take that little excerpt, they're going to blow it up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, and she said she loves everybody. It's just, and I want to commend Pharrell, because I'm a fan of some of his music with NERD and all that. I commend Pharrell. For when Ellen asked him on the show Thursday about his thoughts, I commend Pharrell for taking a positive note. You know, he didn't bash Kim Burrell. He just said, hey, we got to respect everybody's opinions. You know, it takes all of us to make the world go around. So Pharrell, even though I may not have agreed with everything you might have dared to say, I commend you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just crazy, man. It is.
Yeah. It is, man. There's so much to say about it. But I've said a lot, and I think you did a great job presenting it. And you know, our prayers are with Kim Burrell for you know, taking a stand and doing her job. And obviously, the fact that she had backlash is you know, what the word talks about. You know, what we should expect as believers anyway. So, you know, that shouldn't be a surprise. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to we got about 5 minutes to talk about Raw and SmackDown. I talked about Raw already on my Raw review, but let's get your thoughts on Raw and SmackDown Live.
First of all, what was Undertaker doing? Was he rest in peace? what was that? Undertaker, the extra, he had a loogie and a cough. I don't know what I mean. Undertaker didn't look. Old man grind. Taker showing up was cool. I like how they had Taker make the comment of I go wherever I want, where I want, just to cover up the fact that him showing up on Raw made no absolute sense storyline wise.
Right.
Jericho winning the U.S. title. I mean, who really cares? A good thing for Jericho. I always liked Jericho. Now it's like, are they really co-champions, or what's gonna happen with that? HBK segment, you know, just meh. It said when it's like when you become a WWE Hall of Famer and you get to the level of a Michaels or an Austin, your job only is to show up, do a C level promo, and hit your finisher. That's what your career results into.
Yeah.
Austin show up, he's gonna put somebody in the stunner. Foley show up, thank gosh Foley got a haircut. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Foley got a haircut, he shaved. Foley looks like a man again. But Foley's a good dude. You know, talked to him a few times in, you know, in person, good guy. But the Michael showing up was okay. I thought Rusev was kind of funny. I like the new Dan Titus O'Neil storyline going in. Who really cares? Like you say, Owen, the Universal title was so much of an afterthought. No one cares about Owens as champ. And it's not Owens' fault that it's not booking him right. 3, 5, 6 months ago, Owens was killing people. Now it's just he's just a guy with you know, just a guy with the belt. Overall, Raw was just as usual, just lackluster. My show title early today was Raw is Bleach. So it just is just like, okay, Raw, like, y'all got 3 hours of programming. It should be no reason why. Y'all got an extra hour of programming. If you want to be technical, 35, 45 minutes, minus commercials, where y'all can't kick. Y'all can't be as good as SmackDown, if not better. But,
right.
Oh, yeah, and go, and Brock is coming next week. It's like, can we get a show? Why does Brock and Goldberg keep showing up every other week? Undertaker, can we get a show where we have all three of them in a ring or do some kind of tease like it was back in the day? They ain't got a touch, but some kind of altercation to get you ready for the Rumble. I mean, we got 3 weeks away. That was my thoughts overall. I mean, and I don't know if you covered SmackDown. I didn't really see all of SmackDown. I saw most of it, but you know, as usual, I thought SmackDown was a much better show.
Yeah, I thought SmackDown was good too. I'm kind of liking what they're doing with Ziggler, just as far as just he's reluctant type of, you know, going, you know, to some type of demented state type of turn, you know, and you know, I think a turn refreshes his career, but I don't think his career is relevant enough to even care, to be honest, about, you know, about a turn for him. I don't Ziggler will be 37 this year, and there's not
pushing 40.
Yeah, so there's not, I mean, you know, people have revived their characters. I mean, you know, Matt Hardy's in his 40s, and he, you know, he's revived his character, so it's possible. You know, at 37, Matt Hardy wasn't really very relevant. You know, you know, he was kind of, you know, clawing and scratching on WWE and doing any work and just not really, you know, a very good character. But you know, I don't think that Dolph Ziggler could revive himself, you know, like the way Matt Hardy did. I think that's just like a Halley's Comet type of situation. But I don't know. It's just with Ziggler, he still doesn't have a main event feel to me. I mean, if he played the baby face that people rallied behind, you know, that, and he actually won matches, I think that would be better. But as a heel right now, you know, even Dolph Ziggler's character wasn't even strong enough as a heel. He got over because of Vicky. I mean, by himself, he wasn't very over. And we saw that many times when he was a feud by himself, but he never really was by himself. I mean, he was with AJ, he was with Big E, he was with Swagger. You know, he really never had an opportunity to be by himself as a heel. And the rare times where he was by himself, he just wasn't that over. And it just really goes to show, you know, just the problem of WWE having the characters that don't really mean much. They don't have larger than life characters anymore. And there was you know, a piece that I wrote about on the Inquisitor about you know, and something else that Ryback said as far as Triple H telling him that, you know, WWE is purposely not building up marquee guys anymore, and he confirmed that on his recent podcast, and it's like, man, how petty is that? it's so petty. I mean, but you see it though. You see it so much with the people, the Dolph Ziggler's and the Kevin Owens and the Seth Rollins. I mean, you see that though.
If you do the math, and we mentioned this before, and my correspondent Toph made this apparent to me, we was talking off air. Past 15 years, how many WWE, and I'm going to use college football, and then you big Buckeye fan in Ohio. I live in Baltimore, brother, so college football don't mean nothing to us.
Yeah.
So, college football.
Well, at least y'all got a Big Ten team, Maryland.
Yeah. We got Big Ten, you know, but. I mean, college football never was a big thing. College basketball, yes. But the farm system, the past 15 years, when was the last how many WWE has produced from their farm system using the baseball team, or the baseball team? You got Brock. You got Cena.
Orton.
You got Orton. And that's it. Every other champion has been indies. They already came from WCW or Ring of Honor. CM Punk is a homegrown. Kevin Owens is indie. AJ Styles is TNA and indie.
Rollins.
All of the WWE champions, Rollins, there's Tyler Black. Roman Reigns, okay, I guess so. Dean Ambrose, he was Moxley from CZW and everywhere.
Well,
all of the other champions came was outsiders. Coming in, that got the big push they needed. They was a homegrown from OVW or FCW or NXT, like Brock was, or like Cena was, or I'm sorry, I forgot Batista. Batista.
Yeah, I was thinking Batista, but he's not there anymore though.
Right, but yeah, Batista still count. Where you know he was homegrown, he got big, he main evented, then he left. Other than that, that's it. In a 15-year span, you've only produced four homemade, money-making, main event, merchandise-selling talents. I guess if you want to include Roman Reigns, I guess you can go ahead. But, okay, add Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns isn't even on that level yet. So, technically still four. So,
yeah,
if you worked at any job... Yeah, if you work at any job, you write for the Inquisitor, you work for Fox News, your boss say, okay, Featherstone, you've had 15 years, you've only produced four reliable reports. Me being my own boss, or being a computer analyst as I am, or a musician, or other jobs I do, out of 15 years, and I got all this talent, I got all this money, I've only produced. If this was football, and you was a GM, you would have been got fired.
Oh, yeah.
If he was a GM in baseball, 15 years, you've only produced four All-Stars, and the other All-Stars you got came from other teams, that's horrible, man.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. That's bad. That's bad. They're not producing. Everybody is from the indie circuit. Everybody in WWE, whatever you sow reap. WWE is reaping everything they sold against WCW. They was bashing WCW Nitro. Remember, they kept rewriting the show. Oh, WCW wasn't together. It wasn't organized. They rewrote their shows, and, you know, they wasn't prepared. But what are you doing now? Well, they're not letting the young talent run it, you know, Jericho and them. We did this, what are you doing now? Now, granted, SmackDown's a place to go. You got A, but AJ isn't young. I've sat, and I've said this before, you know, I've sat with AJ for 4.5 hours. I personally know the man. It was just last year, right before he went to E. We hung out at Denny's in Philly, me and my staff, great guy. AJ has a history of back problems. His back was all that good then. We knew if AJ, if you go to WWE, you better do it real quick. Because AJ is about to hit the Rumble and make it 1 year, and I say AJ got a good year left. And even now, WWE already pulled him out of some live shows.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nothing against AJ, but AJ's older, all that wear and tear. Look at Hardy's. Jeff Hardy can't even fly 3 feet from the turnbuckle. What last time Jeff Hardy hit a perfectly swanton?
Right. We
love Jeff Hardy.
It looks so limp now.
Yeah, right.
His swan tiles look so limp.
It's like a slump. Like a slump Tom Bomb.
Like a slug Tom Bomb.
He's like, oh, this slug Tom Bomb. You can't even jump. Like, and you're on the top rope. So the laws of physics and gravity, you automatically get a head start. You can't jump 3 feet and clear a table.
Right.
Matter of fact, check the fight. Fight TV app, FITE. Check out their promo video. It's all on Facebook. You will see a clip of Jeff Hardy doing a slug, the slug Tom Bomb. He couldn't even clear the rope.
Ladies and gentlemen, the slug Tom Bomb. Oh my God.
He can't do like the video games no more.
No, oh no, no way. Yeah, but, that's 250 episodes, ladies and gentlemen. We have coined the phrase the Slug Town Bomb.
Slug Town.
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely. I love it.
That's what you want to do, man. Honestly, shout out to you being a college. I'm sorry, I'm late. You know, I'm still calling it the BCS. I still keep up with some college. I mean, college football isn't big here in Baltimore, but I do follow what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But shout out to the fan, I sure if you know Featherstone, of the Alabama. Was it Alabama against Clemson, right?
Yep.
Was Alabama, right?
Yeah, so, Clemson, Alabama. Yep.
Okay, 2 years in a row. Last year Alabama won. Now Clemson won. Shout out to the Alabama fan that when Clemson made that last touchdown, they actually punched his TV.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that, Featherstone, look it up. He mollywopped it. Heart punched it.
Yeah.
You gotta love fans. I'm a Ravens fan that died. I know Christmas Day when we lost to the Steelers in that great game. And, you know, we hate the Steelers here. And I didn't even watch. I didn't watch Sports Center. I didn't watch no sports for a week. And when that happened, I just went slump. My girlfriend was like, "Baby, it'll be okay." No, it won't. I wasn't. You know, but I'm not punching my TV.
No, no.
I mean, this man, look up Featherstone. This man mollywopped his TV.
Wow.
And, you know, football, right when they caught the play, I said, he going to throw it, right? He going to do a quick pass to the right.
But, yeah, that's hilarious. And yeah, that flat route that they did for the game-winning touchdown, that was a good fourth quarter. I got to give it up to him. It was good. I was reluctant to watch it, but, you know, I'm always willing to watch sports for the sake of writing about it, you know. So, and I love college football. So, you know, it was like a NFL. I like the NFL. I'm a Titans fan, but college football is, next to pro wrestling, college football is right up there for me. I absolutely love college football and college basketball. I'm a big Duke fan, so. But yeah,
man, we probably gotta be rivals, man. Brother, Featherstone, brother Stone or Feather, why do we have to be rivals? You
Please
know, I'm taking all the way.
North Carolina fan.
No, brother, I'm from Baltimore. I'm Terps.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like North Carolina.
Okay, good. I mean, you know, Maryland's ACC. Maryland's ACC. So you know, I'm an ACC guy. I mean, I'm still an Ohio State fan. I'm still an Ohio State fan when it comes to, I mean, I root for Ohio State, but I'm a diehard Duke fan. I'm celebrating my 27th year, I believe, as a Duke fan now. So, yeah, I'm excited about Duke this year, as I am every year. But, you know, Maryland and Duke, you know, they've fought it out a few times, but, you know, they're not rivals. They're just fellow ACC, you know, teams. You know, North Carolina, if you were a North Carolina fan, I would have hung up on you, but you're a Maryland fan.
Hey, Kristen Leitner, great documentary. I'm gonna be watching that live.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like I said, you know, basketball. You know, my both of my Terps, especially the Lady Terps. You know, both of my Terps and I think it's still top 10. I think my Lady Turks are top 3 in the country, top 3 in the country, mm-hmm. or top 2, number 2 or 3. The men I know are ranked in the top 10 at least.
Yep.
So I love pro wrestling number 1 and 2. 2, I have to put the NFL in baseball 1A, 1B because I love baseball.
Yeah, me too.
I like football. I can watch any football game.
Mine is went to the World Series.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're up 3-1 and we lost, unfortunately. But
and you know who to blame that to? You know who to blame? That's the curse of LeBron.
Yeah, well, maybe
the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cleveland won last year, though.
Yeah, but remember LeBron trolled. Remember LeBron? Everybody say LeBron trolled Golden State. Remember Golden State was up 3-1. Remember?
Yeah.
And the Cavaliers came back and beat them.
The reverse
and
curse.
LeBron trolled them. So they said it's a reverse curse. But hey, I've been like an Indian since Baby Manny Ramirez, who decided to deal with Japan. Omar Vizquel, Jim Tomey. I can go on. I mean, y'all had the stack team from 96 to 98. Especially my Orioles too, but
loved them. Absolutely.
I'm sorry for the listeners that's not into baseball. We don't mean to bore you.
Right. We got about 90 seconds. Let's get into flavor of the week real quick.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
2.5 weeks left before the Royal Rumble. So we were going to do originally. We only have about 90 seconds to 2 minutes, and so what we're going to do is we have about 2 minutes left. So basically, what we're going to do is we're going to go through favorite matches between 88 and 97. What we'll do for the sake of time this year is, Evan, do you think about 30 seconds? What match can you think of that stood out the most for you between those 10 years of the Royal Rumble?
Say 88 and 97?
Yep.
Oh, man, that's tough. I mean, yeah, the Rumble 92.
But Flair.
Sid and Sean, Rumble 98. Dishonorable mention. I'm sorry, how can I forget Bret? Was it Bret and Nash?
Yeah,
Bret and Nash. Bret and Diesel.
Yeah, Bret and Diesel was the. That was I think that ended. Yeah, so that was good. 92, of course. Piper and Mountie was good for me. Piper won the Intercontinental title. And then Taker and Bret 96. Michaels and Sid was 97. And then the Hogan 90-91 Hogan won. Of course, 88 with Dugan. There's a long story with that, but. The very, very short version for the sake of time is that one of my staff members, Derek, he was a co-host on the show for 4 years, and that we really only have about 30 seconds left. But real quick, we used to watch DVDs together. He lives in Ohio as well. And so we used to watch DVDs a lot before when we were talking about the show. We would eat and then we would eat dinner and watch movies. Watch a wrestling DVD not too long before the show comes on, and we would talk about the show. And I bought it, the Legends of AWA, Legends of UWF, and so it was Legends of Mid South is what it was called. And so they were talking about Mid South and UWF, and then they would pronounce Jim Duggan as Jim Dugan. So every time we hear Duggan, we say Dugan. So that's how.
Shout out to Lex Lugar too.
Check out some old Mid South and UWF, especially Mid South. They pronounced his name as Dugan. We thought it was the funniest thing. But, ladies and gentlemen, 250 episodes. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Thank you so much, Evan. Man, I wouldn't have had 250 this monumental without you, man. Appreciate Bobby Fulton. It's great to have him got on the show to just really be so vocal. So we got about 5 seconds left. So thank you all. God bless you all, and enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless. Appreciate you, Evan. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.